We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, now available at beer retailers throughout the state of Pennsylvania. It's quarter number four, the Keystone Kickoff Show. That means we get Bob and Andy back. It also means we announce our Ask Ross winner. By the way, I mentioned this earlier in the week with Greg that my New Year's resolution is to remember to announce our winners. And the Ask Ross winner is Jeremy from Erie. So, Jeremy, I will be getting in touch with you about your KSN shirt. And I mentioned that that is my resolution because what we are going to do in this segment, guys, we are going to ask you to present James Franklin and his coaching staff with what should be their New Year's resolution. So we're at the end of that first week of January, so I think this is the last time that you could officially do New Year's resolution kind of stuff. So I want to make sure we get this in there. And I know each one of you has your list. Andy, I'm going to start with you, and not to put any pressure on you, but I expect something very bold from you.
I'm going to start with one that I think we'll all enjoy. And that is, I think the Penn State football I resolve for the Penn State coaching staff to hire a football quality control coach and allow that individual to have influence and, more importantly, input when it comes to game and clock management. And I'm talking thinking timeouts, down and distance, field goal versus touchdown. There's a greatest hits list of these. Hire a football coach. Call it the football quality control coach and allow them to have input and to shape your strategy for game and time management. That's it. That's my first one.
And that is a good one, Andy. All right, Bob.
Yeah.
Now it's up to you to live up to that standard.
Yeah, and I just wanted to emphasize what Andy said. The key word there was influence. In other words, James Franklin, it's not enough to hire one. He's got to listen to him. Like, he's got to listen to him during the game. He can't just be sitting next to him and ignoring him on the sideline when he's making some questionable timeouts or stuff like that. James has to let his guard down and just trust somebody. Again, he can worry about some other things. In a little bit in that vein, but a little bit different, because this applies to James, but it also applies to now second-year offensive coordinator Kirk Ciarrocca. Their New Year's resolution combined, maybe on the practice field in the spring if there's practice, or in August camp, more creativity in the red zone. I just think that when Penn State gets to about the 20-yard line, I feel like they're going to run one of three plays. I just don't know. You know, they have the talent to expand the playbook. They have two tight ends. They have a stable of running backs. I mean, you know, they have the talent to kind of keep the defense guessing. But I think the defense too often kind of had a pretty good idea of what was coming with Penn State in 2020, and they need to fix that.
What I will input is, first of all, since both of you guys took two of my my resolutions, I do think they got a little better, Bob, at least getting away from that fade pattern in the red zone towards the end of the season. We didn't see it so much. All right, I'm going to throw one out there, guys, for you. I'd want to get your comment on this because it's one of those little things. It's a pet peeve for me. Whenever James had this past year, I know there was a lot going on in this 2020 season, but he just seemed to have a habit. He would make an excuse for what happened and then say it's not an excuse. Well, if it's not an excuse, then don't bring it up. Am I wrong on that? Bob, you go to the press conferences. Am I wrong on that?
it did seem like James has a great ability to kind of change the narrative. You know what I mean? It's like, don't focus on the obvious, and then you say something, and then everyone's kind of, well, he might be right there. Maybe it wasn't the fact that they got whipped up front. Maybe it was something else. But yes, I think we picked up on it. I know the fans picked up on it. I think James is very good at it, but I think that now, after 9 games, I think everyone's pretty aware of it.
And, you know, when you're winning a lot of games and you kind of divert the conversation, it's not so bad. But when you're losing games, especially 5 in a row, it really, really sticks out there. All right, Andy, it's your turn. What else do you have on your list of resolutions for this team?
I would, Brent, I would say to defensive coordinator Brent Pry, resolve to figure out how in 2021 you can get linebacker Brandon Smith lined up closer to the football before it snapped. Please, that's all. Get him inside the tackles and defensive end box and not lined up 9 yards outside covering a slot receiver or a wide receiver when the ball snapped. That's a resolution. And it maybe got, you know, it looked to me at times like teams sort of, they knew how Penn State would line up defensively and they schemed some things to move him around and make him move. Because you could see him a lot, Bob, jumping from right to left, left to right. You know what I mean? Trying to figure out where he was supposed to line up based on what the offense was doing and the defense they were in. And teams were just moving him around like a chess piece.
Bob, I know you had some stuff on defense. Was it that, or did you have something else?
I have another one. But, Andy, to your point, I agree with you. You know, he closed the season pretty fast. I don't think a lot of fans realize that, you know, he was pretty quiet early in the year, and he was young. But he ended up leading the team in tackles for loss with 8. He had 3 in the last game against Illinois. He, you know, Brent kind of pigeonholed him into the Cam Brown role, or maybe, you know, it was the role where, you know, the wide side of the field, that linebacker is going to be used, you know, in a lot of different ways. He's not really a box linebacker, you know, like Micah and Jan Johnson were. But I do think that now Brandon is big enough that if he wants to move him around and maybe move him closer to where the action is, I agree with you, he can do that. I don't know if he will, but I think that's a good point that you made, Andy. I've been thinking about that too. I think there should be a New Year's resolution for Brent Pry as well. And this one is very specific because it happened consistently in 2020. Yep. They did not start fast on defense at Beaver Stadium. Every game they played, the first half was a disaster. They gave up a lot of points in the first half of every game at Beaver Stadium. They didn't look particularly organized. They didn't look particularly well coordinated. It wasn't an issue away from Beaver Stadium, and the fact that there was no fans made no sense. But every home game, they struggled in the first half before they started to settle down. And I just don't think there's an excuse for that.
Well, how do we explain that? And I'll let you kick in on this, Andy, because we had a situation, and I'm tying this back to my resolution for him. Remember when it was, gee, we didn't expect the running quarterback to be starting. We didn't prepare for him. That's why we started slow. Andy, what do you do to start faster?
Boy, I don't know. It becomes... I don't know. Do you replicate what you did on the road? Cause it was only at home, which was the so weird part of it. It wasn't like they were inherently slow starting week after week after week. They would start inherently slow at Beaver Stadium game after game after game. So I can't give you a good answer, Bob, cause I don't know what you do. If I was a defensive coordinator, I'd be like, what the heck can I do? And I'm sure Brent tried 6 different things, and obviously none of them worked.
Okay, Andy, it's your turn. You got something else on your list?
I do. This is for Coach James Franklin. Do whatever you must. Resolve and do whatever you have to hold on to wide receiver coach Taylor Stubblefield as long as you can. I mean, when was the last time we saw this the wide receiver position not only evolve, but they developed? And then they blossomed. And then they overperformed a little bit. I mean, from top to bottom. And it seems in this 2020 season that Taylor had less to work with than some of the other coaches did. So I think what he did as a position coach was by far the best of any position coach on the team. The wide receiver position, as we know, has been a sticky wicket. There, I dropped that one for you, Jim. It's been a train wreck, and in a small kind of way and in a big kind of way at the same time, it cost them a five-star recruit at the position to a degree because there has been no consistency, transparency, let alone development and blossoming of the wide receivers. This group overperformed. I don't think you'll disagree with me, Bob, and they got to hold on to this guy. James got to hold on to him.
Before we get to Bob's next one, I just want to mention, if you're going to resolve to hold on to a coach based on how his position group performed, how about tight end coach Tyler Bowen?
Yeah.
They're recruiting well there. They're playing well. Pat Freiermuth goes down. So what? We get two youngsters who step right up and play the position well. All right. We still have time for another resolution, Bob.
Yeah, and I know that's a little bit obvious, but I just think if you really think about the last couple of years, it's got to be stated, and I think James knows it too. This is for James. Do not let the best high school players in the state of Pennsylvania get away and sign with Big Ten schools. It happened a couple of times the last couple of years with Ohio State. It happened with Wisconsin. He needs to be better at it. He said it in 2014. He was going to do it. He hasn't really done it. I mean, he's had a couple great years of doing it, but they've just lost too many good players in this state to other schools, and it can't happen if you're going to try and stay in the same zip code with Ohio State.
Boy, I'll tell you what, that might be the best one, Bob. If you look, the talent disparity, if you're losing the best in Pennsylvania, right, Andy? I don't think you could compete if you're not keeping the best local guys.
And you're losing them inside your own conference, right? That's the double whammy, right? You're losing to Ohio State is a 2 or 3x loss, right? On so many fronts. So that's the tough part of it, is not only are you losing them as the guy in Pennsylvania, but you're losing them to other Big Ten schools, and you're losing, you know, the wide receiver to the best school in the Big Ten. That's a tough one.
It definitely is. Hopefully what we're seeing in 2022 recruiting seems to be fixing that. It does seem like they are focused on Pennsylvania in 2022, and that is fantastic to see. Okay, guys, that was a fun segment. Thank you very much, but that is it for our show. Please join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Hi, this is Jim from the Keystone Sports Network. If you're a fan of our Keystone Kickoff Show and you don't want to miss any of our analysis and review of the Penn State football team, there are plenty of ways to make sure you don't miss a single segment of our show. The best way to hear everything that Dustin, Greg, Ross, Bob, and Andy have to say is to download our app, Keystone Sports, from your app store. You can also find us on Spotify, the Apple Store, Google Play, and KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. We are the place for Penn State football analysis.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.